saves our toll.
So good. That was so good. I have young people want to come talk to me. Baby's ready. All right. Are you ready? Y'all got chewing gum. I don't have any chewing gum. Can I have some of that? No? All right. Come on up here and see me. What a bunch of beautiful young girls. Trish, you're missing out, buddy.
I went up here.
Yeah, I know you went up here, but you don't get my point. Look at all these pretty girls. Well, we're starting a new year. Are y'all ready for a new year? What are we going to do this year? We're going to drive cars? We're going to get a driver's license? We're going to scare Daddy to death? What are we going to do this year? What grade are we going to be in? Going to be in school? You are? What grade? Don't know. I was that way when I went to school. I didn't know. I just went. But it's a new year. But you know, even though it's a new year, Jesus is still the same.
Amen.
And Jesus loves you just as much this year as he did last year. And y'all won't have too much trouble worrying about the new year. I tell you what's hard for me. Y'all tell me if it's hard for you. Remember to put 2018 on your checks. Y'all have trouble with that? You have trouble with that? And put 2018 on all your correspondence. Y'all have trouble with that? She's looking at me like, you're so crazy. it's just a new year. And we're going to have a fun time in it. Y'all ready to have a fun time? All right. Let's say a prayer and pray that Jesus will come to us this year and just make himself known. Father, I thank you for these precious young people. They are so blessed, Lord, to be here. Father, I pray that you'll work in their lives, that, dear Jesus, you'll continue to speak to them, and that, Lord God, that they'll know you as Savior and Lord this year. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all grab a coloring book. Y'all need to show me some pictures in color sometime. Thank you for coming to see me, baby. We're going to Children's Church.
Come and look in the nursery.
All right.
I'll
sit in the nursery. We'll wait there as we go by.
Okay. Y'all have fun. It's good to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be in Isaiah 30 today. Isaiah 30. Wonderful text of God. Isaiah 30, verses 15 through 18. If you have a bulletin, I hope you do. On the right-hand inside cover of that bulletin, we've got a responsive reading there. On the left-hand side, it tells you a page number to go to. If you don't have your Bible, you turn to the pew Bible and turn to a page number for Isaiah 30. Isaiah is a wonderful, wonderful book. So glad to see everybody today. Isaiah 30, verses 15 through 18, we'll read responsibly. Ask the audience to read the bold-faced text. Isaiah 30, 15 through 18. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel.
In returning.
And he would not. But you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. And you said, we'll ride upon the swift. Therefore they that pursue you will be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill.
And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him.
Blessed are all those who wait on Jesus. You know, Israel as a nation had fallen, and they had tried different ways to get better. Somebody started a movement called Make Israel Great Again, MIGA. And they began to, you know, I did that this morning. Nobody called it either. Amen? They didn't follow it, did they? But they said, we're going to go to the politicians and we're going to make it better. And we're going to try to make it better and we're going to get everybody together. We're going to make it better. But, you know, it doesn't get better in a nation until the nation turns to God.
Amen.
We've got to turn back from where we've fallen and turn back to him. You know, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And God, he speaks to his people, and he speaks to us today as a nation, as a people. He says, listen, if you want to be blessed from me, then you need to return and rest in me. You need to have confidence in me. You need to believe that what I've said, I'm going to do. But then God says these four words. He said, and you would not. I want you to notice there's four words there. And you would not. God does not force himself on anyone.
Yes.
God gives everyone a choice. He says, look, I know what's best. If you'll come to me, I'll bless you. But if you choose not to, if you choose to keep going the way that you're going, then you're not going to succeed. But that's not God's problem. That's not God's fault.
Yes.
The fault is when we turn away from God. God says, I'm standing here waiting to be gracious to you. So he says, if you'll come to me, I'll bless you. As we look at this sermon today, I want to address, first of all, the sinner as I speak to you. And you say, well, Brother David, we're all sinners. And I say, exactly. Amen.
Amen.
But I want you to notice that God is waiting for the sinner. He's waiting for the sinner. Look what he says. He says, in returning and in rest shall you be saved. A person says, how can I be saved? The Bible says that there is nothing you can do of your own hands to be saved. You need to return to God, the God that made you, and you need to rest in his promises. You know, God made us to be in his image and in his likeness. The Bible says that he made us to walk with him. The psalmist said this in Psalm 139, 13. He said, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. But I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In your book, you wrote my days before any of the days were made. How precious are your thoughts to me. I want to tell y'all something that the world will not tell you. When God made you, he made you on purpose. And every one of you has a purpose. God knew what you were going to be when you were in your mother's womb. And God wanted you to walk with him and to talk with him and to be with him. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want you to live in defeat. He doesn't want you to live as broken things. He wants you to come to him. And that's why God says, in returning and in rest, you shall be saved. Yet so often, many of us, we don't return to God. We want to do it our own way. You know, Jesus told a parable over there about Luke 17 about a young man who wandered away from God. Most preachers call it the message of the prodigal son. And you've probably heard it before, but I want you to hear it again. Jesus said, there was a young man, he went to his father one day. And he said, Daddy, give me everything that is my inheritance. I want you to give me everything that is supposed to be mine because I'm going to go out into the world. And isn't that just so much like us? Let me tell you something. Who you are and what you are and where you are is all because God is who he is. Amen. The things that we have, we do not own. Everything we have in stewardship from God. The homes that we have in stewardship from God. You might say it's mine, but it's going to come a day where it won't be yours anymore. Somebody else will have it. Amen. Everything you have is on loan from God. I wake up every morning, I say to God, thank you for letting me have what I have today because I may not have it tomorrow. See, God gives that to us and he loves us. This young man, he went to his father and he said, give me what is mine. And isn't that what we do? God, give me what's mine. I'm going to go out into the world. So the man took what he had, what his daddy gave him as an inheritance. And that's how God is. God loves you. 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 And God will not force you to do anything. But God loves you enough to let you, even if you're wrong, he loves you enough to let you be wrong. And he let this young boy go out into the world. And the boy went out and he had money and he had stuff and he had friends all around him. But when the money dried up, the friends dried up. And when the money went away, the good times went away. And one day, the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, this young man was looking through the pig trough, trying to find something to eat out of the pig trough. You know, I've been up to McDonald's before and seen people picking through the garbage, looking for something to eat out of the garbage that wasn't too much chewed, that they might fill their bellies. I've seen that. You say, how can people get to that state? You get to that state when you get away from God. Amen. When you begin to make the world about things and you get away from God, after a while the things will fail and the friends will go away. But God is always there. God's waiting and he's patiently waiting for repentance. Amen. He always is. Well, this young man, it says, and Jesus said, this young man, as he's picking through the pig trough, he comes to his senses. Suddenly he wakes up. Oh, I wish God would wake every sinner up. Amen. I really do. I wish he'd wake up every drug abuser. Amen. To make them realize that there's a God that don't want them shooting that mess in their veins. I wish he'd wake up every alcoholic and make them realize that God wants to fill them with the Holy Spirit and not fill themselves with spirits. Amen. I wish God would wake up every person and make them realize that God didn't want us to wake up with a hangover, but with a smile on our face. Amen. Joyous for the life that God has given us. Well, yeah, this man, he woke up. This young man, he said, I'm going to go to my father. He said, and I'm going to tell my father. He said, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'll just be a servant, Daddy, if you'll take me back. And this young man, as he's headed home, he rehearsed this over and over again in his head. He said, I'm going to tell him when I see him, Daddy, I don't want to be your son. I'll just be your servant. That's all I want to be. As he got back close to where his daddy's house was, the Bible says that his father was waiting on the hilltop for him. And when he saw that son come, he ran to where that boy was and he embraced him. And I can imagine this boy, he stinks with the sewer of what he was doing. He was feeding hogs. He stinks. He's got dirt on his face, excrement in his hair. He's in a filthy, horrible, terrible state. He's not one that you would want to embrace, but the father wanted to embrace him. And that's what God thinks of every sinner. People say, my sin is so great that God can't save me from it. But I tell you this, God can save you from anything.
Amen.
If you'll bring it to Him. And He does not want you to clean yourself up. He wants you to come as you are.
That's right.
That's what it is. You come as you are. You say, what if that young boy had said, well, I'm going to wait until I can find me a shower and a hot shower and some soap before I go home to my father. He would have never went home. He'd have died in his sins. But he came to his daddy filthy like he was. And he found what we all found who found Jesus. That God came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Such as us. God loves a sinner.
Yes, sir.
He loves a sinner. He loves you. And he says, if you'll return. What does return mean? It means repent. You know, in the church, we have dumbed everything down so much to where we've just not reached people anymore. You see, several years ago, we started talking about being seeker sensitive. The Bible don't speak to seekers, it speaks to sinners. And nowadays, we don't repent. We make a decision. We've dumbed everything down. But you know what God says? He says in returning and in rest, you'll be saved. Returning means coming back to the God who loves you. Turning away from the sin that weighs you down and just coming into His embrace. And coming to Him and saying, Father, I don't deserve any of this. And none of us deserve any of it. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I've had people tell me, I don't think God would take me because I'm not worthy. But can I tell you this? There ain't a person in this building right now that's worthy.
Amen.
We all fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
But Jesus said, just come back to me. That boy, whenever he ran to his father's arms, the Bible says that the father said, bring a ring to put on his hands. And bring a robe to put across his shoulders. And he said, go and kill the fatted calf because my son who was dead is now alive.
Amen.
Because that's where life is. It's in the arms of God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, let's praise God for salvation. Isn't it good to know God? Oh, I wish everybody would understand that. In returning and in rest, can you be saved? That's the only thing that you can do. I wish we understood this. I hear horror stories all the time about things that churches have done. And it makes me mad. It makes me mad. We had a prayer meeting yesterday. A bunch of pastors got together. You know when a bunch of pastors get together, chickens have prayer meetings. Did y'all know that? Well, we got together to pray for our churches. And we prayed in the McDonald's. What better place to pray than the McDonald's? Amen?
Amen?
I want people to come in and see people praying in the McDonald's.
Amen.
But one of these pastors had just newly gone to a church, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the church. But he said that under the previous pastor, two homosexuals came to church one day. And as the preacher preached, one of those homosexuals got under conviction. And he came down and he knelt at the altar and he gave his life to Jesus. When he stood up, he went to tell the pastor. He said, I've given my life to Jesus. And the pastor said, are you going to go home with that man that you came with? He said, that's the only home I know right now. And the pastor said, you've never been saved, or you wouldn't go home with that man right now. I want y'all to understand something. God does the saving.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. God does the saving.
Amen.
I don't make a determination whether you're saved or not. God can save anybody.
Amen.
And God saved me out of drugs and out of alcohol. God saved me out of vandalism and out of theft. I used to love to go in a store and shoplift. You wouldn't want to invite me to your house because you wouldn't have much when I left. That's who I was. I'm not there anymore. But when God planted the seed of salvation into my life began to change. And it didn't change all at once.
Right.
But it began to change.
Amen.
What they should have done was this. Celebrated the salvation. But you don't receive that individual as a member in the church until you see the fruit. You say, I don't understand that. I want you to understand this. If you give your life to Jesus, I'll never judge you.
Amen.
I will just embrace you and say thank you for what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
And I will support you until the fruit of salvation shows. Because where God lives, God changes.
Amen.
And He changes the life. And He's been working with me since I was 17 years old, and God's never let go of me yet.
Amen.
And I want y'all to know something. I'm going to confess to you. I ain't perfect. Y'all go ahead and amen that.
Amen.
I'm shocked y'all don't know that. I'm not perfect. But the God who is at work in me is still at work in me.
Amen.
And once God comes in, he will not leave until he cleanses the temple. In returning and in rest, you shall be saved. Isn't that good?
Amen.
We need to go out and tell people about Jesus, don't we?
Amen.
Let's do that in the new year. In returning and in rest, you shall be saved. Y'all say that with me. In returning and in rest, you shall be saved. That's what salvation is. You return to God, you rest in him, and I'll guarantee you, God gets hold of you, you'll be saved.
Amen.
That's a promise. God's waiting for the sinner. I want you to notice another thing in this text, though. God is waiting for the saved. He is waiting for the saved. He says in verse 15 again, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and in rest shall ye be saved." But look what he says next. "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You know, life doesn't often play out the way that I want it to play out. I imagine y'all have had things happen in your life you just assumed had not happened. But God is always in control. God never has an out of control moment. And the God who died for me on Calvary and shed his blood for me, the God who sent his son to die for me, is not going to abandon his child, which is me.
Amen.
God is going to be there. So you know what God tells us? He tells us, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your blessing." What does that mean? Over in Psalm 46:10, it tells us this: "Be still and know that I am God." He says, when things happen we don't understand, be still and know that I am God. Trust the promises of God. I want to tell y'all something. God has never told a lie.
Amen.
God always tells the truth.
Right.
And God tells us, he says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die."
Amen.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's a good guarantee.
Amen.
He says you'll never die. You know, I love that. I don't worry about dying. But you know, so many people, they say, "Oh, I've got this and I've got that and I've got the other." Can I tell you this? I got God. I got God.
Amen.
And he said, "You'll never die." You know what God has said to me? He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a wonderful thing. Because as we go through the valleys, God says, "I am there." But a lot of times we can't hear God because we're running around like a chicken with our head cut off trying to figure out what to do.
Amen.
What you need to do when the trials come is in quietness. Stop. Open up your Bible. Open up your heart. And listen.
Amen.
Because God is there.
Amen.
If you're saved, God's never far from you. You have a high priest who intercedes for you, who hears every one of your prayers. And the Bible says God stores all our tears in a bottle, the Bible says. God hears us and he knows us. Jesus said, "Don't worry about what might come tomorrow." He said, because, listen, the Father has numbered the hairs on your head.
That's right.
God knows your needs. He knows what you need before you ever ask. God asked us to come to him and ask because he wants us to love him. But we're to come to him and trust him and believe on him. Have you all ever talked to yourselves? Anybody ever do that? You know that's biblical. Did y'all know that? Y'all don't know that? If you ever read the book of Psalms, you'll see that it's biblical. King David had a lot of trouble in his life. He had a lot of trials and tribulations that pursued him. But King David often would talk to himself. In Psalm 42:11, he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" He said, "Listen, soul, hope in God and praise him." That's pretty good, isn't it? When your soul starts getting away, he did that more than once. Psalm 43:5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He grabbed himself and he said, "Look, why are you walking around discouraged with your jaw dragging the ground? Why are you discouraged? Why are you disappointed? Why are these things going on? Don't you know to hope in God?"
Amen.
And he tells it to his soul. That's a good way of living your life. When your soul starts, you know what I've noticed is that when we begin to focus on the negative, everything becomes negative. Y'all ever notice that? Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6. He said, if your eye be focused on the darkness, then everything will be filled with darkness. But he said, if your eye is focused on the light, everything will be light. My question to you is, Christian, where is your focus at? Is your focus on the light or is it on the darkness? Let's put it this way. Let's put it to something y'all can understand, that I can understand. If I was focused on the empty pews today and not on your beautiful smiling faces, I would be negative. But can I tell you this? My God controls and oversees everything.
Amen.
And the exact number of people that needed to be here today are here today.
Amen.
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 And I'm grinning anyway because I love every one of you. And I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
God had this message for you. Them that aren't here didn't hear it. Too bad. But I'll tell you what, God made a steak dinner and you got a sirloin today. Amen.
Amen.
He made a great thing for you. And you're here and I am so glad for that. Let's give God a hand. I want y'all to do something different. I want you to give yourselves a hand. Let's do that. Because you're the people of God celebrating in God's place. Listen, beloved, where your eyes are focused is where you understand. There's too many Christians that have a cat-like salvation trying to ride around through this life on Schwinn. Now, I want y'all to know something. I used to ride a bike, but I can't get up some of these hills in Tennessee. There ain't nothing sorrier looking than a fat buffalo on the back of a bike. I'd rather go through this life in a Cadillac life. And you've got a Cadillac God. You've got a God who has given you a complete salvation. So when the trials come and things don't work out the way that you think they ought to work out, quit looking down. You know, one of the interesting books in the Bible is the book of Job. I had somebody come to me one time and said, I didn't know Jobs was in the Bible. I said, it's not. It's the book of Job. God wrote a whole book about one man named Job. What was Job's life story? Job was a good, rich man. He loved God. He loved God. And I'm convinced because he loved God, God blessed him. You can't outgive God. God will bless you. You know, God will bless you. I'm going to say that one more time. God will bless you. He will. And so Job, he had everything. And then God began to test Job. He began to take away systematically everything that Job had. Now, Job couldn't see why that was happening. But God took away his children. He took away his property. He took away his camels, which was his Cadillacs. He took away everything he had, but he left him with a nagging wife and three know-it-all friends who come around just to tell him how bad he was. Y'all ever had trouble and you had the friends come around and tell you how bad you were?
Amen.
You're suffering right now because God's mad at you? God told them personally. You know that, don't you? Amen. God whispered in their ears. This man suffered through all kinds of things. But Job kept his eyes on God.
Amen.
And in the end, God gave him back twice everything that he had. God is with his people.
Amen.
You know, there was a prophet in the Old Testament, a preacher. He was one of them hard preachers. He'd say things that hurt people's feelings sometimes. And his name was the name of Elijah. He had a lot of enemies. A lot of enemies. And he preached a sermon one time and it just made everybody mad. I mean, everybody was mad. So they got up a committee in the church. It was called an assassination committee. And they decided they was going to go and kill old Elisha. Y'all are looking at me like, where's that in the Bible? Okay, I'm embellishing a little bit, all right. But they did send assassins after Elisha. A big crowd of assassins. They had spears. They had swords. They had chariots. They had horses. They had men. They had everything you could imagine. They had an army coming after Elisha. And you could hear the ground rumble as these people are coming up to kill this long man. Elisha's servant, his friend, is next to him. And he turns to Elisha and he says, Elisha, he said, there's a great cavalry coming this way and they're going to kill you. And Elisha said, no, they're not. No, they're not. Not going to hurt me at all. The servant said, I don't understand what you mean. He said, there is a big pile right there that's coming. He said, let me pray. And Elisha bowed his head right then and he prayed. And he said, Lord, I wish you would open my servant's eyes so he could see what I'm seeing. I'm not Elisha, and I'm not that powerful. But my prayer for you is the same prayer that Elisha prayed. I pray that in the new year, God will open your eyes and you'll see the power of God all around you.
Amen.
He prayed for the servant. When the servant opened his eyes, he saw gathered all around Elisha a multitude that couldn't be numbered. A multitude of angels. God surrounds his people.
Amen.
God fights for his people. God loves his people.
Amen.
And if you will trust him, nothing can come to you unless it comes through God, either his hand above you, or his hand underneath you, or his hand around you. God loves you. Cares for his own.
Right.
So the best way you can be blessed is to be quiet and be confident in him. God will not fail you.
Amen.
Because we serve an awesome God. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I love you so very much. We all love you so very much. And Lord, as we come to the end of this message, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that where they're sitting right now, they just say, Jesus, I want you as part of my life. I want you to be with me. I run to your embrace, Lord. I know that in returning and in rest, I shall be saved. And Lord, I pray for your Christians today, Lord. Lord, those who have been saved, they're sinners still, Lord. We all are. But Lord, I pray that in quietness and in confidence, we will live our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would open all of our eyes so that we could see the mighty power of God all around us. And that, Lord God, that we would trust you no matter what might come in this new year. Lord, we know that life doesn't always work out the way that we like. But we know, Lord, that if we trust you, all things work together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. So make us a people of purpose, Lord. Make us the people you want us to be. And Lord, let your spirit be known in this place today and beyond. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation will be number 309. 309. Would you stand?